Chapter 16. All at Once. To me, there's lots more broken than anyone can really see. Why the angels turn their backs on some, it's a mystery to me. All at once I hear your voice, and time just slips away. Nothing they can say can hold me here. Take me where I only feel the wind across my face. Let me know there's some place left for me. Bonnie Raitt, All at Once. The sun is past noon when Cullen abandons the chessboard to search Skyhold, growing more concerned the longer he looks. It doesn't help that there must be hundreds of places to search inside the castle, from the crumbling edge of the dungeon's floor to the rookery where the birds mutter to each other constantly. He circles back to the garden and the library repeatedly, sure each time that he'll find Dorian toying with the chess pieces, or reading with his feet propped on the windowsill, or trading barbs with Mother Giselle. He can't ask himself what he's afraid of, doesn't drag it out into the light to face it, but the longer he looks without success, the tighter the knot in his chest becomes. Climbing the stairs to the top of the wall after checking the garden a third time, he suddenly realizes there's one place he hasn't looked, the one place he should have looked first. It's become habit to shove away thoughts of his tower whenever they rise to the front of his mind, and that's exactly what he's been doing for the last hour. He might look at it every time he crosses the courtyard, but he's perfected the art of looking without thinking, and the top of the tower isn't visible from anywhere inside Skyhold. Apprehensive and hopeful, he climbs the last of the stairs two at a time and turns left at the top, steps quickening until he's inside the tower. It's crowded at this time of day, and he collects more than a few looks as he climbs the stairs. He returns all of them, curious or hostile or carefully neutral, with the same calm nod he gives his soldiers when he makes his rounds in the camps. Unlike his soldiers, most of the mages don't seem to know what to make of that nod. They've spent their lives under guard, with Templar eyes on them constantly, but both sides of those exchanges did their best to treat the other like furniture. No Templar patrolling apprentices' quarters ever nodded at a senior enchanter as to an equal, and no senior enchanter would have expected it. Kinloch Hold was better than Kirkwall, not that it was difficult to find a circle less polarized than Kirkwall, but Gregor and Irving's relationship had still been strained nearly to breaking on a dozen different occasions. Cullen's hands are on the ladder for the last climb to the top when one of the younger mages clears her throat nervously. "Sir, Commander, did you need something? Only we were asked to keep people off the top of the tower today." "I need to look at something," he tells her, now more sure than ever where he'll find Dorian. He begins to climb, not waiting for her answer, confident she won't try to stop him. As soon as his head clears the stone, he spots Dorian slouched in the far corner between two crenellations, staring out over the valley. He's seated in exactly the place where Cullen has sat on so many nights, in nearly the same pose, one foot on the stones paving the top of the tower, one foot braced against the inside face of the crenellation across from him. His arms are folded tightly across his chest, and the hand Cullen can see is curled in a fist. There's also a mostly empty bottle on the floor where Dorian could grab it without needing to move. No way to know what's in it, but Cullen suspects it's something stronger than wine. The wind is harsher than he remembers, and it cuts through his shirt as he lowers the trap door back into place with a hollow thud. Dorian doesn't turn, even though he has to have heard it. Cullen has no idea what to say or do, except for the cowardly part of him that recommends a hasty retreat. He ignores that suggestion and crosses the tower to crouch beside Dorian, his knees creaking in protest. "Looking at anything in particular?" Cullen asks quietly, surreptitiously moving the bottle out of Dorian's reach. "Trying to see the attraction," Dorian says without turning. "Any luck?" "Some," Dorian says, and the ground drops out from under Cullen, exactly as if he's stepped off the tower, as if Dorian's pushed him. Then he's back on solid ground when Dorian finally turns his head and adds, "But mostly not." Ugh. It's the best he can do. His lungs still not quite recovered. I prefer to go down fighting, not do Corypheus's work for him. Before Cullen can answer, Dorian closes his eyes and drops his head back hard against the stone, face turned up to the sky. I'm sorry. That was uncalled for and unfair, as was my behavior last night. I should never have said any of it. Not here and not last night. The words are stiff, the cadence of his sentences off. I'm sorry. At this point in his life, Cullen has spent enough time around diplomats to recognize how carefully that apology is worded. It's an apology for saying the words, not an admission that the words themselves were wrong. He doesn't doubt Dorian's sincerity, but he understands its limits. His anger sparks again, and dies without finding tinder. He's too tired to be angry. He's tired of being angry. The Inquisition needs me, he says, without force. It's the simple truth, the thing holding him up and holding him back at the same time. I know, Dorian says, the words almost lost under the wind. But you don't need to do it all by yourself. I have Meryn. This earns him a slow blink of surprise he doesn't understand. I wasn't actually thinking about the paperwork, Dorian says, and there's the ghost of a smile at the corner of his mouth. What else is there for someone to help him with? No one can take the memories from his head or the lyrium addiction from his body. The world, and his life, are what they are, and nothing can change that. He can't, he won't, ask someone else to shoulder his burdens, not when he took them on so willingly. Dorian slants a look at him. Templars rarely fight alone, as I understand it. Few soldiers fight alone, Cullen says. Where three individuals might fall, three soldiers together might succeed. He understands exactly the point Dorian is trying to make, except... But there's always one person in charge, making the hard decisions. Alone? Dorian presses. When it matters, yes. Dorian chews on his lower lip, his eyes closing as he frowns in concentration. I will concede that military hierarchies are not an area I've much studied, he says, fingers uncurling from their fist to tap lightly against his own arm. But I think you may be conflating two things. The decisions may be yours, but are you truly required to carry them out and bear the consequences alone? Of course not, Cullen sighs. That's the problem. If I was the only one who had to bear the consequences, it wouldn't be this hard. He ducks his head, fixes his gaze on the last inch of amber liquid in the bottle, and forces out the rest of it. Why do you think I'm so afraid of failing? You've never failed me, Dorian says quietly. I don't think you could. Cullen flinches, reminded of Redcliffe and Dorian's father. Please don't. He can't find the words he needs to explain. And even if he could, he's not sure he could say them aloud. The wind pushes at him, and his knees ache, but he doesn't move. As you wish, Dorian says. He sounds so tired, Cullen's chest hurts. Did you track me down for anything in particular? You weren't in the garden, Cullen says, then stops. His unacknowledged fears seem silly now. You've never missed one of our games. Would you believe me if I said I lost track of the time? Dorian says flippantly, without looking at him. Would it be true? Josephine would be so proud of him, hearing the real meaning hidden in the words. The pause this time goes on so long, Cullen begins to wonder if he forgot to speak aloud. But then Dorian crosses his arms a little tighter, shoulders curling in. I'm sorry, he says again, and this time it sounds more like, I'm sorry I hurt you, and less like, I'm sorry you decided to get upset. Dorian sighs, head still tilted back against the stone. I know what it's like to fight yourself. Oh? Cullen asks neutrally. As far as he can tell, Dorian's problem is usually the opposite, too sure of his own rightness. I truly did wish to please my father, Dorian says. It was my highest ambition once. If I could have made myself the man he wanted me to be, there was a time when I would have done whatever necessary. I always thought, you never seem to regret who you are. Now, I don't. Without lifting his head from the stone, he rolls it to the side so he can smirk faintly at Cullen, eyes slitted against the wind. After all, if I had been that man, I would never have met you. Cullen smiles at the double meaning and finally gets up the nerve to touch Dorian's bare shoulder. The skin is cold, so cold his hand feels like it's burning. And it would have been tragic if I hadn't had the chance to meet you. One of the great tragedies of our age, Dorian agrees, before the smile slides off his face. Just because I have no regrets now for who I am, doesn't mean I was always so sanguine about it. There's nothing like being 15 to make every emotion feel like the beginning or the end of the world. And disappointing my father was very nearly the end of my world. I tried to be who he wanted me to be, for a while. He lifted one shoulder in a tiny shrug, leather and metal scraping against stone. It's not the same as what you're struggling with, but I do understand some of it. It's not the same, Cullen says, repeating the words so he can feel them and decide for himself. He rubs his thumb over the point of Dorian's shoulder, the skin pebbled from the cold. I wanted to be a Templar, he says at last. No one gave you a choice. Wanting to be a Templar doesn't mean you deserve whatever happens to you in the course of those duties. Doesn't mean you're somehow responsible for others' sins. Cullen rocks back, and only barely manages to keep his balance. Before he's quite recovered, Dorian says, And besides, my father certainly seemed sure it was a choice, a juvenile rebellion I refused to abandon when he ceased to tolerate it. Is it a choice? Cullen asks, because it's safer than responding to the rest of what Dorian said. Is it? Dorian turns back the question on him with a single raised eyebrow. Cullen thinks about that, about giving up not his friendship with Bull or with Dorian, but the sex that goes with it now, because that's what Dorian's really asking. Could he give up something that fills a need he didn't even know he had a year ago? No ropes holding him and keeping him safe. No belt leaving marks that burn straight through his body until he begs for release. This isn't about their midnight card games. This is about something much simpler. Something it should be easy to give up. He spent his whole life denying himself, after all. And it's not as if sex is unpleasant without ropes and just the right amount of pain. It's a kind of choice, Cullen says. And he gives Dorian a half-smile. I could choose to be unhappy. Dorian smiles back and lays his hand over Cullen's, pressing it against his shoulder. Exactly. Cullen's knees are screaming at him, and he knows he's rapidly approaching the point where he won't be able to climb down the ladder when he needs to. He's not ready to let this conversation end, though. They could go somewhere more comfortable, which shouldn't be difficult, as pretty much anywhere else would qualify. But he knows that by the time they made it as far as the garden or the library or his room, there would be no recovering this fragile intimacy. There are more comfortable places for thinking, Cullen says, trying to tease. None so likely to be free of other people, Dorian says, and he's frowning again, the shoulder under Cullen's hand tensing. If I'd had to look at every one suspicious frown, I likely would have done something to prove all their fears true. Cullen remembers Dorian's offhand comment last night, said in jest but perhaps too serious at its heart. There's always the lingering fear they've come for the Vint Magister at last. How bad is it? Cullen asks. Dorian shrugs. Better than it was. Dorian, Cullen says tiredly. How bad. No one spat on me in weeks, Dorian says brightly, and it's been days since anyone even looked like they wanted to. Would it help if the others knew that you and I, that we were lovers? Dorian asks, sparing him more awkward flailing. Unlikely, It would reassure some, but others would see it as proof that I'm dangerous. If I can seduce the commander, what vile magic is beyond me? The scorn in his voice can't quite hide the pain and the bitterness. He looks up and catches sight of Cullen's face. I'm all right, he says quietly. The only people in Skyhold who could best me in a fair fight are the ones least likely to try. His mouth curls in a smile that's painful to see. Blackwall stepped in front of an arrow for me last week. Did I tell you that? The world is indeed full of wonders. What if it's not a fair fight? Cullen asks. Dorian sighs. During the day I keep to the library, or the garden, or the hall, where I can't be caught alone. At night I lock my door, or I sleep in Bull's room. What else can I do? You were alone up here, Cullen says, and feels a chill that has nothing to do with the wind. Was Dorian hoping someone would find him alone and take the choice out of his hands? Cullen is intimately familiar with that particular self-deception. But Dorian is shaking his head. At the top of a tower full of mages, I'm just as safe here as I am in the library. He presses Cullen's hand into his shoulder again. It would probably be best for both of us if you forget I said anything about it in the first place. There's nothing you can do, and worrying about me won't help either of us. Cullen tries to think of an argument, but can't. Words aren't his weapon of choice, and his sword is as useless here as it is against nightmares and lyrium withdrawal. Dorian doesn't need a champion for a duel, and Cullen can't very well follow him around all day, every day, to glare at anyone who looks at him sideways. What else can he offer, if the one thing he's best at is the last thing Dorian needs? For once, by some grace of an absent god, he knows the answer as soon as he's thought the question. With a grunt, Cullen lowers himself all the way to the ground, relieving the pressure on his knees. After a ridiculous amount of shuffling and shifting, he finds an acceptable position, sitting with his back against the stone supporting Dorian. His hand curled loosely around Dorian's calf. That it gives him an excuse to move the bottle further away doesn't hurt. Dorian is laughing at him and his fidgeting, but Cullen doesn't mind. At least he's laughing again. He stops laughing when Cullen stretches out even further so he can settle his head against Dorian's hip, almost in his lap. Dorian stares down at him with an unreadable look before he lets his head drop back against the crenellation, and his face is no longer visible. One of his hands rests on Cullen's chest, while the other rubs lazy circles through his hair. Another need he didn't even know he had. This need to be touched for no reason at all. He touches people with a specific goal in mind, pleasure or punishment, never simply to touch them. The last time anyone touched him just because, he was a child. As cold as it is up here, as much as the stone is numbing his ass and legs, Cullen wishes there was a way to stay like this all day and all night. That thought reminds him of another. Have you been up here all night? He asks. Dorian's hand stops moving for a second. No, he says too casually. Cullen thinks about sitting up so he can see Dorian's face, but then Dorian resumes petting his hair, and sitting up doesn't seem worthwhile anymore. He tries a different question. Have you been up here since you left Bull's room? Dorian makes a sound that might be a laugh, or might be a sigh. Yes. More than half a day. Are you hungry? Not at the moment. The hand on his chest lifts and covers his mouth. Shh. Talking too much is supposed to be my responsibility. He snorts around Dorian's hand to show his opinion of that, but he doesn't try to say anything when his mouth is once more free. Instead, he closes his eyes and concentrates on all the places their bodies rest together, peeling off one glove and laying his hand over top Dorian's on his chest, so he can feel skin against skin. His mind begins to drift, disconnected thoughts falling together and breaking apart into nothing at all. It's not quite dreaming, but that's all right. If he's not actually dreaming, then he can't dream of Kinloch Hold or of the demon wearing her face. A door hinge squeaks close at hand, and he's on his feet in an instant, sword drawn as he scrambles to gather his scattered thoughts. At the top of the ladder, a mage stares up at him with the trap door halfway open. It's the same girl who tried to stop him earlier, and she looks terrified. Even as he watches, the trap door escapes her grip and crashes all the way open. He can feel the vibration through the soles of his boots, every sense ready for a fight that isn't coming. She stutters out something Cullen can't understand, and he shakes his head, frowning as he tries to gather his thoughts. Her already pale face pales even more, and he begins to worry that she's going to fall off the ladder. "It's fine, Ella," Dorian says. "I'm fine." "I thought you'd come down and then you didn't," she says, all in one breath, without taking her eyes off Cullen. "And then I couldn't hear anything, and I was worried." "The commander isn't going to throw me off the tower," Dorian says dryly, and Cullen can hear him walking closer. "At least not today. And if he ever tries, there will certainly be enough noise to alert you and everyone in Skyhold." He's right beside Cullen now, smirking down at the girl, Ella. She doesn't look reassured, and Cullen realizes his sword is still drawn and pointed in her direction. He sheathes it quickly, embarrassed by his overreaction. "See," Dorian says, "everything is fine. Though I would recommend against startling any more Templars. It tends to be unhealthy." She doesn't look entirely convinced, but when Dorian lifts the trap door, she takes the hint and climbs back down the ladder. Dorian closes it once her head is out of the way, shaking his head and smiling. The smile fades when he turns from the trap door and takes Cullen's face in both his hands. "How long has it been since you slept?" "Too long," Cullen says, with rather more honesty than he intended. "I can help with that," Dorian says. Cullen laughs. "Up here? My cock would freeze off if I so much as seriously thought about taking it out." One corner of Dorian's mouth curls in a smile. "For once, that wasn't actually what I meant. If I can make enemies sleep in the middle of a fight, I can certainly make you sleep, lying in your own bed." Magic, and the kind of magic that crawls into his mind. The memory of Kinloch Hold surges up, and he shoves it back quickly. He says, "No," congratulating himself privately on sounding casual. Dorian gives him a look, so perhaps he didn't quite manage casual after all. "You're not doing anyone any good like this," Dorian says. "I think I'm doing my job well enough," Cullen says stiffly, tension burrowing into his muscles once again. "Cullen," Dorian brings their foreheads together. "Please, let me help in this one small way. You're not required to carry everything by yourself." A few strands of Dorian's hair are caught between them, and they rub against Cullen's skin as he shakes his head without leaning away. "I can't sleep in the middle of the afternoon. My desk is probably already buried under letters." He tries to make a jest out of it, but suspects he's no more successful here than he was at feigning casualness earlier. Dorian sighs, his breath warm against Cullen's face. "Try to sleep tonight?" "I'll try." That, at least, he can promise with a clean conscience. It won't work, but he will try. "Try hard," Dorian says, and Cullen can't promise that, so he kisses him instead. Dorian returns the kiss, but when they break apart, he gives Cullen another look that says he's painfully transparent. The only way to hide from that look is to be where Dorian isn't, so Cullen disentangles himself and pulls the trapdoor open one more time. At the bottom of the ladder, he realizes Dorian hasn't followed him. He considers climbing back up to remind him to eat, but he's not ready to face that look again. The girl, Ella, is standing only a few feet away. He nods at her. "Take him some food and make sure he eats it." He can't help but bark it like a command to one of his soldiers, and she flinches. "Please," he adds. The look she gives him is almost as bad as the one he left behind on top of the tower. He knows what rumors will be all over Skyhold by dusk. Andraste's tits. The last thing he needs is for his soldiers to wonder if his judgment has been affected by a mage, and a Tevinter mage at that. Not that there is much he can do about it now. Please? He says again. And this time, she nods.